Welcome to the 55th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. This podcast is to help spread the word of the healing benefits of plant-based nutrition. My opening jingle today is a little different. This is because of what happened last evening in Paris. The terror attacks were very tragic, unnecessary, and horrific, and my heart saddened by it. I'd like to dedicate, if you can dedicate a podcast episode to those in France, and my heart goes out to you. A few years ago, I ran the Paris Marathon. It was only my second time in Europe, and it was, ironically, just after the United States had engaged in the war in Iraq. People discouraged us from going to the marathon because they said that at that time maybe the French didn't like us. That couldn't have been more wrong. We had a wonderful time. The French were gracious to us and kind. The marathon toured the city beautifully around all the major attractions, the Louvre, the Eiffel Tower, Notre Dame Cathedral, through the different parks, around the government buildings. The whole marathon was filled with beauty and history. My mom and my daughter and my friend Dawn, who's my nurse, was there with me. We were part of marathon tours. They waited for me at the finish line, and there was no fear of anything. Their safety was, you know, not even a thought to me. I ran with a card from the hotel that had the hotel's name on it. And that was, you know, other than my bib number, that was really my only identification. I didn't carry a cell phone at that time and didn't speak French, and ran through the streets of Paris with thousands of other people from all over the world, feeling very happy and safe. The funniest story of that marathon was that I was one of my earlier marathons, and I still had hopes of being a really fast Kenyan runner, and so I dressed like a Kenyan runner would have dressed if I were running a 2-hour and 30-minute marathon instead of a 5-hour marathon. So it was 40 degrees, and I had some iliotibial band issues and ended up walking part of it and thought I was going to freeze to death, and found an old shirt along the side of the road that I actually put over my arms that allowed me to finish the marathon without being quite cold. And I'm grateful it was a shirt from a Frenchman, and it had some little saying that I actually kept and framed. I don't know what it said, but it always brings back great memories. It was a really good trip. After the marathon, we took a bus with a tour guide down up to Normandy, and I still can remember how silencing it was to go out on the beach at Normandy and see the craters and see the pillboxes, and there was just a silence that it brought the war, you know, right back, and the sadness and the eeriness of that time. Then we also went to the National Cemetery, and again, extremely moving and a beautiful spot, but so sad that so many people lost their lives for such needless hatred, basically. We stopped at a little restaurant with our driver, and we ordered some French fries, and when they came out, I remember that our tour guide, he said, "These are freedom fries," and we all laughed. And it was just, again, a demonstration of the kindness of the French people. And we would try to speak a little bit of French, although we knew hardly anything. And just the fact that we tried to communicate with them in their own language, they were so gracious and to try to help us. So I have nothing, you know, but fond thoughts of Paris. And I'm saddened by the events that took place in such peaceful events. I know the French will overcome this, and they'll protect their people. The French have a tremendous sense of identity, just like we as Americans, and they won't be defeated by evil either, nor have we. So vive la France, and this episode is for you. So today, I have Brooke Goldner as an interviewee. Dr. Goldner is a psychiatrist and a lupus survivor. She has recovered from her disease through Whole Foods plant-based nutrition. To me, she is what a doctor's all about. She's a healer. She's compassionate. She wants to share her message. She's altruistic. I heard her speak at the International Plant-Based Nutrition Conference, and I mentioned it before on a different podcast, that she had the last slot of the evening, and I thought, poor thing, you know, she's followed Dr. Campbell and Dr. Esselstyn, and, you know, what could she say that would top them or keep people awake at 7:30 in the evening? Well, she did. She got a standing ovation for her talk. It was dynamic, just as this interview is with her. I'll let her do the talking because she'll tell her story and tell how she's taken a disease that can be ravaging, like lupus, and turned it into something positive and inspiring. She helps others. She spreads the word of healthy eating. She spreads the word of positivity, something that I guess after the beginning of this podcast we can all use. One thing she said during the interview was that something good happens every day. And I guess yesterday what was good for me is that I spoke with Dr. Goldner. So I hope you enjoy the interview. And afterwards we can kind of sum up some of her bullet points. But I'll hope you take time to look on Amazon or her website. She's a vegan doctor, and her book is Goodbye Lupus, How a Medical Doctor Healed Herself. So check those out. I'll certainly put references to her website and her book in the show notes, and we'll go over it again at the end. But please enjoy the interview with Dr. Brooke Goldner. Welcome, Brooke Goldner. I had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Goldner at the International Plant-Based Nutrition Conference in Anaheim, and she gave a talk that blew me away. I think she blew most of the audience away on how she was actually diagnosed with lupus and had the standard treatments and was struggling along until she met her to-be husband and basically went plant-based and fixed everything. So I'll let her tell a short story of it, and then we'll get talking about how she's taken lupus head on. So welcome, Dr. Goldner.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so, you know, I was diagnosed with lupus at 16 years old, and back at that time, it was actually a fairly rare diagnosis, although nowadays, people are getting sicker and sicker, and most people I know somebody who has it. But back then, it was pretty rare, and I was extremely ill. By the time they figured out what was wrong with me, I was already in kidney failure, and the doctors gave me 6 months to live if I didn't have an aggressive experimental treatment at the time, which involved using chemotherapy to shut off my immune system. And I had 2 years of chemo from 16 to 18 years old, and it was pretty tough, you know. I accused my doctors of trying to kill me since I felt worse with medication than I did beforehand, as I'm sure a lot of people can attest to. But it actually did work for me, and after two horrible long years of chemotherapy, my kidney failure was halted, and the lupus went into a remission. But the remission was, you know, basically in medical terms, remission just means your condition is stable. You know, I wasn't getting worse at that time, but I still had arthritis. I still would get rashes or migraines if I was in the sun or I didn't get enough sleep. And, you know, I had very low energy, but I was alive, and I was very grateful for that. I've actually always lived in a place of extreme gratitude that for whatever reason, there's always been something that people could do to help me continue on. And I felt very driven to make my life count for something because, you know, having been taught about my own mortality at a very young age, I felt very strongly that I had to make my life mean something. And at the time, I just felt the best way I could do that would be to become a doctor so I could help save lives the way my doctor saved mine. So that was my track. And whenever I wasn't taking chemo, I was studying. And I was able to graduate top 10 in my class in high school, got scholarship to Carnegie Mellon, and, you know, did research on neurobiology and leukemia actually when I was in college, and just was really focused and really focused. And I was just happy to work hard. You know, most kids are complaining, especially that school, about the hard work, but I was just really excited to have normal problems like homework, you know, and exams. I was an extremely peppy kid compared to all those other ones who were struggling. But so I actually got through college fine. I stayed in remission, although, you know, I had to have my I was still on steroids, and I had my blood tests every month and all that. But, you know, my numbers stayed stable. They, of course, they're always positive. And I got my dream. I got into medical school and at Temple University. I went to medical school there and did okay for the beginning, but the hours and the stress, you know, this, like, medical school is it's a survival game, right?
Yes.
I always loved learning, but medical school almost took that from me. Just huge amounts of constant studying. You know, I remember reading 12 hours a day trying to just keep up with the information. And then once I got into the clinical world, working 100 hours a week as a student in the hospital, because back then we didn't have the regulations we have now that limit you to only 80. So I actually got sick again in medical school, and I started getting double vision, and I actually ended up having a mini stroke or a TIA, and I woke up in a clinic that had been closed while I was in there, but people thought I was sleeping or something, but I'd actually suffered a TIA. And so at that point, they'd realized that I'd gotten worse again, and I started on blood thinners. And, you know, at that point in my life, it was kind of like, okay, we don't know how much time I have left. The time bomb got a little louder in my ears. And, you know, I was just hoping to kind of make it to 50 and to get to be a doctor for a little while and, you know, help as many people as I could. And that's kind of where I was, you know, as you mentioned, I met my husband, Thomas Tadlock, and everything changed from there.
Now, he was a personal trainer, exercise physiologist, and was he plant-based or just ate really clean at the time?
Well, yeah, he was not plant-based. And actually back then, I mean, this is over 10 years ago when I met him, that wasn't really something we heard very much. What he was very, he started out, he was a scientist, and he went to Carnegie Mellon as well. And so his background was in computer science and mathematics, a world where everything must add up, everything must make sense. And then he entered his real passion, which was exercise science, and he got his master's degree, and he entered a world of ambiguity, where they go, oh, some things work for some people, and some people get better. And it made him mad. It made him crazy, because he couldn't understand how we are all made of cells, and we are all made, and all of the cells have similar organelles, and we all have DNA, but why wouldn't the same things work for every person? And it just made, and even his professor had no answer for him. People have different genes and this and that. And because no, cells should all require the same thing. So he was constantly pursuing science to understand cellular physiology, you know, that something that normal personal trainers don't look into, but this was his passion. And he befriended some amazing biologists. And, you know, really studied what happens on the cellular level when you add different nutrients and what happens to metabolism when you do that. And so what he became an expert in is metabolism. So how that you can actually change your metabolism and create a fast metabolism at any age just by giving your cells the nutrients they need. And so that became his expertise. And so, of course, he put that knowledge to good use and worked for MTV, helping rock stars have a six-pack for therapeutic video. You know, it's very important to have that. And so that's what he was doing when I met him. And so when we fell in love very fast. I mean, there's essentially a soulmate or a twin flame. I don't know what you call it, but he is the person that I was meant to be with. And we knew that quickly. It was about a month into the relationship. He started talking about marriage. And I hadn't really, you know, talked to him about the whole lupus thing. And, you know, it's not really first month material. I don't want to scare away this amazing person. But I had to tell him that, you know, I have this disease and it's only going to get worse. I'll probably be handicapped by my 30s. I might not live past 50. And you're going to end up taking care of me. I also can never have your children because I've been told if I have children that it would kill me if I, you know, managed to carry a child without miscarriage. So, you know, it was just, it wasn't quite the romantic conversation he was hoping for, but he's an incredible person, and his answer was that he'd rather spend a short time with me than a lifetime with somebody else. And so I said, okay, I'll marry you. So at that point, I said, I'd only ever dreamt of a white coat. I'd never imagined a white dress. I'd never let myself imagine that kind of normal life that, normal, healthy people would have. But at that point, we decided to go to Maui and get married there with a small group of people. And I wanted to look hot for my wedding. I had no other desire. I had no other, people asked me how I knew that this diet was going to heal me. I didn't. I wish I was that smart. I had no idea. I just wanted to look hot for my wedding like every other woman. And I wanted to stay healthy doing it. And the work that he did was all about nourishing people so that their metabolism gets faster. And that was what I really wanted to do. I didn't want to starve myself like my girlfriends had, for their wedding. I wanted to take care of my body as best I could. So I went on his program. It was not a plant-based program. It was just very high in plant foods, very, very high in raw foods. And it paid attention to how much of those foods you were eating. But it also included meat as the protein component. But for me, I've been vegetarian for the animals really since I was 12 years old. So I've always been a vegetarian, or I joke around as a cheesetarian, but since I was 12. So I refused to eat meat. And so therefore, he had to change the program for me. And the program it did not include dairy products, because it is very well known that dairy actually increases your insulin levels and increases your obesity. It's one of the most fascinating things you can consume. Although it's actually, let me say, it's not very well known. It's well known if you study the biology of it, but if you watch dairy commercials, then you're lost on this. But it's actually a very fattening food. So dairy was out of the question. So by miracle, by default, I was left with a very clean plant-based diet, and that's how it all happened. So, it's kind of like that old commercial where the person holding the peanut butter and the person holding the chocolate run into each other and the peanut butter cup was born. Except the healthy version of that because him and me ran into each other, this program was born, and I was able to not only heal myself, but now I'm able to use the same information to heal other people. So when I did this program, it took about 4 months, and I lost a ton of weight. I went from a 5'11 to a 5'3". I got super fit and ripped. And I also was completely free of symptoms. I had amazing energy. I had no arthritis. I was feeling the best I'd ever felt, in spite of being an intern at the time, working 30-hour shifts and, on call. And, I didn't have any dream that my disease was reversed, because when did you lose me?
You'd had no idea that your disease was reversed, and yes, it is Friday the 13th.
Friday is a lucky day. No.
So you said you had no idea. Yeah, you had no idea that your disease was reversed when you went,
Right. So I continued eating that way just because I felt great. And so it was really a shock when we went to my rheumatologist, and he was a new rheumatologist that I was seeing that was by the hospital at UCLA where I was in my residency, he said that my tests were negative for lupus. And that's impossible according to the medical world. Once you're diagnosed and your ANA is positive and you have these antibodies against your body, that those are always positive, but they were negative. And my blood clot antibodies were only mildly high. And then we retook everything, because that was obviously a lab error. And a couple months later, we took everything, and everything was normal, including the antibodies against my blood clotting factors were gone. And then my genetically high cholesterol was now optimal. And I looked like it was the blood work of some kind of amazing athlete who was super healthy, but not my blood work. And the rheumatologist said that he thought that I was malingering or something. He told the med student that she alleges to have lupus, but there's no sign of it. And that I don't allege it. Here's my chart. He saw my chart, so he knew. I was eventually fired by him and told to come back if I needed anything. And I'm sitting here now. It's been exactly 10 years since I've had the first negative blood test, and there's been zero sign of any disease in my body. I have the blood work of a extremely healthy person, healthier than any person that I've ever seen in any clinic. And I've had no symptoms of any kind. And I've had two amazing children. And, I'm almost 40 years old, and there's no sign of anything slowing down. In fact, I get better and stronger every year. So now that is what I've dedicated my life to. Now, my husband and I both is we are determined to share this information so that nobody has to suffer. No person has to wait for their significant other to get sick or lose them. Nobody has to miss out on living their life because of illness. We're dedicated to helping other people achieve the kind of life that we've had. And so that's what we've done. We've spent the last 10 years, we continuously are studying nutrition and cellular biology and putting people through programs and case studies and applying only what works in people. My husband, like I said, he's not for ambiguities, and so only things that work for 100% of the people are the things that we recommend to people. So there's none of that, you know, results not typical kind of stuff. The things that we teach work for everybody to help them decrease inflammation and illness in their body and get as healthy and vibrant as they can.
You give walking the walk, you know, a whole new exponential meaning. You know, I mean, there's the fat guy that loses weight, and you know, and that's, you know, it's really good. But I mean, this is just amazing. You know, to come back from what you've come back. And, you know, as a physician and anybody that's known anyone that's had lupus, it can be a devastating disease. And, you know, when I heard you speak about this during your lecture, I just kind of wanted to scream in some respects, why isn't every rheumatologist doing this? And it just, you know, it's bad enough that, you know, I'm a cardiologist and I don't have any colleagues where I am that practice this way. But, you know, this illness of yours takes young people, and it takes them quickly and hurts their whole life. You know, you can have a heart attack and maybe go back to playing golf and things, but lupus is so devastating. And you know, I have to ask, you're a psychiatrist by trade. Did, you know, the psyche of, you know, lupus can be very hard on, you know, you're beat down, you know, I mean, between the steroids and the chronic illness, it beats people down. Did that influence you to go into psychiatry at all, or?
Actually, no. You know, any illness can take you down, and you're absolutely right with that. You know, if you identify with the disease, and I think it's extremely important that people do not take on a disease as part of their identity, because you can't shed your identity. So if you say, I am sick and I'm a lupus sufferer and I am a diabetic, then that's your identity. That's hard to shake, and that's very depressing to have that part of your identity versus I am a person who has an issue. I have a disease I have to work with that I have to get past. So I've never incorporated that as to who I was. It was just part of my struggle. And all of us have struggles of some kind. And I never once would have traded mine for anyone else's. I had an amazing, supportive, loving family. I had a brain that did me pretty well, although I got pretty scared I could lose it when I had the blood clots. But you know, I always had so much. I always focused on what I had that was good. And in any given day, there is always something wonderful and beautiful that happens if we're looking for it. And it's funny, I just said that to the cashier who checked me out today at the supermarket, because I asked her how she was doing, and she said, hanging in there. And I said, that's early in the morning to say hanging in there. And she goes, I'm hanging in every day. And so I reminded her of that, that something beautiful will happen today if you're looking for it. And I made her smile. But, you know, it's always a choice where we put our attention. And I think it was that mindset that drew me more to psychiatry, not being sick and struggling with depression and having that bring me down, but the opposite, that I've always been able to be full of joy no matter how sick I was. And what I noticed was, I originally thought I was going to be a rheumatologist, you know, to help other people with lupus. It made sense to me. But when I was a medical student going on rotations with the doctors, what I noticed was that there were people who had devastating illnesses that didn't seem to suffer, that seemed to, and those people were upbeat and they found reasons to be happy. And so even if they had a really serious, horrible diagnosis, they tolerated it well and they still had a lot of quality of life. And then there'd be people who had more of a minor issue that was treatable and that they could move through, but they seemed so depressed and they just couldn't heal and they couldn't get better. And it became very clear to me that our psyche, our mental state, has a greater impact on our ability to find joy in our life and even overcome disease than anything else does, than medications or anything else, that we can give up our will to live. And it has an enormous impact. And, you know, there was one patient that really drove it home where I was on my surgery rotation, and there was a woman who had diabetes, who had a horrible wound in her foot, and it wouldn't heal. Diabetics often can't heal their wounds. And so it was the intern's job every day to clean that wound with a scalpel, and it's disgusting and horrible. And as a med student, I got to hold the bowl that they would put the wounds. Well, let's not get too graphic. You understand. So every day we'd go in there and clean this wound, and every day this woman would scream and cry, and it was so horrible. I'd have tears going down my face too, just to see her in so much agony. And then one day we went in there and the woman's daughter was visiting and they were talking. And while the intern was scraping her foot, they were just talking, and she was in a good mood and happy, and she didn't cry once. She didn't scream out. She didn't suffer through the entire procedure. And I went, oh my gosh, you know, her suffering was completely dependent on her state of mind, and her daughter being there with her gave her that distraction and that happiness that made the pain seem less painful. And so, and I actually said that when we came out of the room and they asked what our thoughts were, I actually said that to the attending, and, you know, I was giving these insights. And so I was really drawn to psychiatry because I thought it was a way that I could truly decrease people's suffering. And that was really my goal, was to help people enjoy their lives more and suffer less, no matter what was happening to them. And that's how I ended up in psychiatry.
Fantastic yet again. So in your practice today, when you gave your talk, you started out with 6 easy steps to healing. And they're pretty straightforward. Avoid animal products, meat, eggs, fish, and dairy. Avoid processed foods, especially with, you know, complicated ingredients, you know, the big long laundry list. Avoid oils. Eat plenty of greens, raw when possible. Eat your omega-3s, such as flax seeds and walnuts, and drink water, half ounce per pound, up to 120 ounces a day. Sounds simple. And, you know, if I had heart disease, high cholesterol, diabetes, or lupus, I'd say, well, this is what I got to do, then fine, I'm on board. But does that really happen do people seek you out, or do people walk into you and it's like, well, you should do this?
Well, you know, it started out in the beginning, people weren't really aware of what I was doing, of course. And so in the beginning, I was really part of my psychiatric practice. I see everybody online using telepsychiatry, telemedicine, using Skype. But I used to have a practice in person as well, and I was medical director at a nonprofit. And so, you know, I would see people in person too. And back then, it was more of a surprise. They're thinking they're going to see a shrink who's going to write them a prescription after talking to them 15 minutes. And instead, I spent an hour with them getting to know them, and then I'd ask them about their diet and suggest ways that they could eat in a way that could improve their mood, their health. And it was kind of a surprise then. And so I really spent a lot of time in the beginning really just trying to convince people the science behind it and how sound it was. And I did have people who, you know, it's neat. When I have it set up in steps, people don't have to consider a complete overhaul tomorrow. They can choose one step, like, all right, I'll drink more water, or all right, I'll start having some omega-3s, or all right, I'll get off dairy, kind of thing. But it was kind of cool because at the time when people would embrace even one or two of the steps, there'd be dramatic changes in their health. And I would get a call from a cardiologist saying, you're a psychiatrist, how did you get him off this cholesterol medicine? Well, I taught him about omega-3 fatty acids, you know. And so, but that was, you know, maybe 6 years ago. Nowadays, you know, what happened was this. So in the beginning, you know, I was raised in the medical system where you are, as a doctor, are supposed to not share who you are. You are there just to receive the information of the patient, find out what their diagnosis is, give them a treatment plan. And so I would teach people about diet, but only as an expert. You know, I have a certification on plant-based nutrition, and I've been researching this for years, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't really share my story because I wasn't trained that way, and I didn't know if that was appropriate to do. And one day I had a coworker tell me that his daughter had lupus, and she was very ill, and he had a strained relationship with her, and she wasn't willing to come see me. He wanted her to talk to me. And it's just because it was her dad's suggestion. So he said she was willing to get an email from me. Could I email her something that could change or open her mind? And I thought, how in the world am I going to open someone's mind that I've never met and that knows nothing about me? It's one thing if I can talk to you and you can, you know, hear my charm, right? But, you know, send an email to somebody. How am I going to do that? So So I decided, let me just write my story. So I wrote her this email where I just summarized my story, and it was the first time I'd ever written it down. I just never really thought about how phenomenal my story was. You know, I'd never thought about just what impact it could have. And so I wrote this email, and I said, this is what my life used to be like, and this is what I did. And I sent it to her. And before I sent it, I showed it to my husband and said, what do you think of this? And he said, I think this needs to be out there in the world. I think everybody needs to know this story. So it was just a few paragraphs. It was a very, very short version of my story. But I published it on Facebook. All right, I'll put it on Facebook and see what happens. And I went to sleep. And the next day I got up, and that little blurb I wrote had been shared hundreds of times around the world to people I've never had no connection to. I don't even know, like China, like I don't know how people saw it or were able to share it. And I had an inbox full of messages from people all over the world who just were moved by it and were inspired. And I went, oh my God, this is what I need to do. This is what people needed. They don't need another smart doctor telling them how to eat. They need a story that can inspire them. They need to know who I am. And so once that was out there, now when people come to me, they already know what I'm going to tell them, and they already know what it's about. So I still do see people from psychiatry very, I have a very small practice online now. I just, I love it, and I love the impact I can have on people. And so I still do people online, although it's a holistic approach. I use medication when necessary, but I also focus on healing nutrition that benefits the brain and the mood. And then I also see people for nutrition to help them learn how to eat in a way that can give them optimal health. And a huge proportion of them have autoimmune disease. But those folks, they already know, and that's what they want, is to have me help them learn about nutrition. So that part of it has gotten pretty easy for me now, because they've already been pre-qualified. They already know what they're getting into.
So most people are really willing and desire to figure out the steps then for you.
Yeah. Although I do get a call every now and then from someone who just doesn't think I'm real. And come on, I have one of them say, come on, this is crap, right? This isn't real. No, this is real. Because, you know, I actually put it out there, and it's on my website. Anybody who wants to, I will give them a free consultation and just talk to people. I just want to talk to people and hear them out and hear their story and see if there's anything I can do to help them. And a lot of times they're not ready to even start a program. They're not ready to even start the steps. They're just looking for support and some peace of mind and maybe some direction on where to start. And I'll do that for them. And I'll tell them, you know, I don't think you're ready for a program yet, but I think you need to learn more about this. I mean, you know, and just whatever I can do to help people start to get on that path. So some folks are ready to just dive into, like, I have a four-week program that's a very strict raw program where I help them every day eat in a way that's going to get them to very low inflammation by the end of 4 weeks. There's only a certain percentage of people that are that motivated and desperate that can, boom, change their diet tomorrow. Most folks, though, the steps are how they do it. And most folks can start with, you know, one step, whether it's just getting their water up or whether it's just eliminating one of the foods they should be eating. And for those folks, you know, it's a slower process. But I think almost everybody can at least start on one of the steps, unless they are in that place where they're so depressed and so slow that really they need to start with medicine to feel well enough to even start taking the other steps they need to take. And so I really meet people wherever they are to help them get to the next step.
Yeah, it still blows my mind. From my perspective, I'm just starting to get the people seeking me for plant-based nutrition. I've been doing it for a couple of years, you know, and it's so still most of my consults are coming in and they're shocked when I, you know, push back my chair and start talking about, you know, how nutrition can fix this. But, you know, that being, you know, you can, it's kind of intuitive, you know, if you change the way, there's enough out there as far as, you know, your high blood pressure, if you lose weight, your diabetes, you lose weight, you know, that gets better. And so plant-based nutrition, you lose better. But, you know, autoimmune diseases, people are put on these god-awful medications and steroids for years on years on years. And, you know, for somebody to say that, you know, well, geez, you know, if you just do these six simple steps, it'll work. It's hard for me to, you know, that people, I mean, obviously people are desperate at that time, at that point when they seek you out, but it's hard for me to, you know, I have such difficulty. It's hard for me to believe that people, you know, will believe you, you know, as far as other than your story, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I think because I've done it, it gives me a lot of credibility. You know, like I said, I'm not just a smart doctor who's researched this. I live it. I've lived it and I continue to live it, and I lead by example. And, you know, on my Facebook page, I post every day, you know, research to help people understand it, recipes to help them, and my own personal struggles. You know, here I am at the gym, you know, doing pull-ups, which I never did before. You know, here I am doing it, like showing people how I'm continuing to work on myself too, to continue to get stronger and better. And so, you know, I think that because it's personal, it does help people, you know, really get inspired to do more. Because, you know, I cry with them. I know the pain. I know the struggle. I know the fear. I know those medications. So, you know, it's really more of kind of a kinship and a partnership rather than, you know, just the kind of traditional doctor-patient relationship.
Yes. And then, of course, I'll take it one step further. So this is such a wonderful program. The side effects of a green smoothie are pretty small, other than if you spill it on your white pants, you know. But you know, so the physician community around you, you know, what are the rheumatologists? You know, have you had any rheumatologists pick this up?
Yes, actually, I do. I have rheumatologists from around the country that refer people to me for nutrition plans, specifically my 4-week program. And so that's also really made it great because those doctors, they really get the love of their patients because they send them to a program that helps them. And they're already ready to do it when I talk to them. So I don't have to do all the convincing I used to do. They're already going, okay, my doctor, I love my doctor, and he said this is good for me, so let's do it. And so that, you know, is wonderful. But yes, yeah, so there are rheumatologists that are involved in this and interested in this. And that's great. But there are many, many, many more that are completely unaware of this. And so, you know, I have most of the people that come to me on their own. They've been online. They saw me talk. They have a friend or somebody who heard me talk and told them they had to reach out to me or whatever it is. But they're going on their own. And a lot of them, you know, I'm seeing someone for nutrition, I can't see them. I tell them I'm not seeing you as a doctor. I'm not your rheumatologist. And, you know, so this is just a nutrition plan. And your doctor needs to approve and follow you. And those doctors will actually tell them it won't work. And that lupus is just it's a genetic disease. And the medications are the only thing that are going to work for you. And what I say is, you know, take your medicines, do everything the same. That way there's nothing, you know, that you're doing everything the same way you were doing it before. Let's just change how you eat. And even for those doctors that are telling them that, no, it's not going to work and, no, it's not nutrition, they're still taking them down off their steroids after 2 weeks on the program. So whether they believe in it or not, they see the results change. And, you know, it's interesting. Some of them come around and find it really interesting, and some of them, you know, refuse to see that that was the reason and, you know, try to find any other possibility of what could have caused it. But, you know, it's changing. And I think, you know, physicians like you are spreading this information. I'm so grateful that you have this podcast, that you're working on to spread this information, because it's still, you know, even though there were 600 doctors at the Plant-Based Nutrition Healthcare Conference, that's such a small little piece of the medical world. So, you know, it's up to doctors like us to continue doing everything we can to spread the word. And that's why I have my YouTube channel. That's why I wrote my book, Goodbye Lupus. All that is to really continue to spread the message that there is hope and that there is an answer and that you can take back your own health just by going to the supermarket. You can be empowered to live the life you want and not just depend on medication for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was, you know, I was like a kid in a, you know, I hate to say a candy store, but, you know, it was at the conference, you're in a room with the 600-700 people that are really into healing through nutrition. Everybody looked fit for the most part. Everybody looked healthy. The food was amazing. And then you walked out into the lobby of the hotel and you could see a little bit of sick America. And then when you got to the airport, all of a sudden it hit you. And it was almost like you had to leave, you know, Wonderland, and you go back in the real world. And I felt a little depressed when I went out, you know, into the real world. Yeah. I wanted to stay in there where everybody was happy and healthy and, you know, on board.
It's lonely being a leader, you know, it's lonely being a leader in that sense that, you know, you're trying to make an impact and change the world, and you're going up against society that has had this certain way of thinking for many, many years. You know, my mother eats this way, and she went to a cardiologist at one point years ago. She was having it ended up being something else, but she had her heart rate was racing or something, and then the doctor asked her about her diet, and at the time she was vegetarian. I was still working on her, and asked about her diet, and she said, I'm vegetarian. And her cardiologist said, you see these canines? You're supposed to be eating meat. And she called me, and I was like, oh, my God, did you tell her this, this, and this? She goes, I didn't tell him anything. I wasn't going to say anything. I went, oh. And so I always encourage, you know, patients, too, to talk to their doctors, and don't give up on your doctors. But, you know, that kind of practice is still out there. I can't imagine any doctor or biologist who thinks our human canines can cut through any kind of meat without cooking it and cutting it into pieces first. Okay. You know, but it's just that to be telling somebody who actually had a healthier diet than most for her heart that she needs to go back to eating meat is horrible. So, you know, you're in a place where it's, you know, it's a little bit lonely and there's not that many people who know this information. And it's really frustrating because when you do know it, right? You know, I know how easy it is to help people. You know, I help people with lupus, of course, heart disease, diabetes, anything. It all gets better when you follow these steps. And I go, wow, you know, it's really a crime that these other doctors aren't aware of this and that all these people walk around so sick and they're losing out on their lives. The kids are losing their parents, their grandparents. You know, it's just heartbreaking. People are losing, you know, with lupus, like you said, people are losing their kids. The doctors just don't know. So it's very frustrating, and we just have to keep fighting, and we have to keep pushing for this information to get out there in every possible way because we owe it to the world. And I think, you know, things are changing, and we're part of a revolution in healthcare that's happening. And I think in the next 20 years, we're going to see a dramatic change in how people treat illness and how we see nutrition and related to disease.
Yeah, I think so. I have had the one, I don't know, probably 7-8 years ago, at least, a patient came into my office and was asking questions. And I'm not sure even what the question, I think she did chelation therapy and some alternative things. And of course, at that time I was very, you know, much by the books, take your statins, take your blood pressure pills. And she said, you know, your doctors, you could cure disease if you wanted to, but you don't really want to. You don't want us to be healthy. And I was so offended, but that rings so true in my ears now that it's like, you know, we do need to wake up and realize that there are other ways around there and embrace them if they're working. You know, and so I don't think I, you know, and sometimes my nurse will come in and she's like, you know, we got a new patient, and I kind of mentioned plant-based nutrition to them, and they're not going to be receptive. So, you know, you might not even want to waste your time. You know, we're an hour and a half behind as it is, you know. And I'll go in and I start to talk to them and I can't help it. I have to go down that road. And it's like, listen, you know, you may not want to hear this. It may not be something you're interested in, but I have to tell you because I believe in it. And you can make your own decision and, you know, read more about it if you want, but this could help you and you need to know. And so, you know, I'm really driven by that.
We have to. And, you know, it's frustrating for me because, you know, I'll speak sometimes at alternative health conferences, and my husband will speak at one of them. And sometimes these naturopaths or other people will get on stage and say, this is what your doctor doesn't want you to know. When they're talking about food and nutrition. And I get really frustrated. And I said, no, it's not what they don't want you to know. It's what the doctor doesn't know. And it's not an excuse. We need to get better at this. But at the same time, doctors are part of this broken system. You know, for me to go through, you know, 4 years of college, 4 years of medical school, 4 years of residency, and never once have nutrition mentioned to me, it made me think that nutrition was not important. Because if it was important to disease and healthcare, then someone would have taught me that. And so doctors are victims of this system. So, of course, when somebody asks you about kale, you roll your eyes. I did before I got healed, you know, because, of course, that doesn't help. This is about medications and physiology and genetics. You know, and so I think that it's really frustrating for doctors, too, because, you know, we don't want people to be sick. Nobody I went to medical school with, no doctor I ever met, went to medical school to become a doctor so they can get rich off of sick people. Never. It's always about wanting to help. It's just that we become victims of the system and we only know what we're taught. And so the doctors now, like yourself, that are trying to get this information, we're going outside of our medical training. We're reading the journals we weren't told to read. We were told to read New England Journal of Medicine. But we're reading nutrition journals. We're reading all sorts of other things. We're doing our own kind of case studies. And so that's not something that you're trained to do in medical school. So, you know, I think things are changing, but it's not the doctor's fault. And I think we need to be gentle with them. And I really believe, you know, I always tell people, don't give up on your doctor. Show them what you're doing. Show them what you've learned and help them, help guide them and open their eyes too. So, but it is. It's very frustrating for patients and it's frustrating for us. But yeah, we have to push on. We have to tell them. We have to spread the word. If I didn't, I think I would blow up. I'd have just explode.
Yeah, I think you would too, actually. There's a lot can come out pretty quick. It was, I mean, you know, like I said, if, you know, any listener out there, if you have a chance to actually see her speak in person, it's even more dynamic than what you're hearing. It was pure entertainment as well as educational. So that was fantastic. You know, the role, and so you do most of your stuff by teleconference and over the internet, getting people to cook, you know, I mean, a lot of this is smoothies and raw stuff early on, but, you know, what's your approach to, you know, people, you really, you know, when people say, well, can I go out, you know, what am I going to do with my friends? And, you know, how do you approach that?
Well, you know, so that sounds like there's a couple of questions there. How do they handle when they're going back to eating more cooked foods, and then how do you handle the whole social aspect of eating plant-based or being vegan? You know, it's all about a process. So for me, when people are trying to heal, then I really expect them to adhere to the 6 steps as closely as possible. For dramatic amounts of healing to happen, you need everything dialed in. And if you follow all 6 of those steps and you eat high raw, and you eat, you know, your omega-3s and the right amount of water, and you're avoiding the things you shouldn't be having, then a great amount of healing is going to happen in a very quick amount of time. And when people do my four-week program, it's all raw. So that part is more difficult, you know, in terms of, yeah, you know, unless you're in California or New York where there's tons of raw vegan restaurants, you're making all of your own stuff, and you can do it with smoothies and other things. And then after that, when people get to a place where they're happy with their health, then they can go on maintenance. And maintenance is you stick with the 6 steps, for the most part, but you can add in cooked foods or other foods on occasion when you want to. And so, like for myself, I eat high raw, so it means that I still eat, you know, I still drink my green smoothies, and I have raw foods all day long, you know, fruits and vegetables and things. And then I usually have cooked dinner, maybe a stew or something like that, a vegan stew or whatever. And, you know, it's very easy, actually. But, you know, when it comes to being social, I think there's multiple things we can do. First of all, you know, the hardest part about eating plant-based is really the decision to do it. When people struggle, it's because they're struggling with the idea of it, not the reality of it. It's, oh, my God, can I do this? And what am I going to do on Thanksgiving if I can't eat turkey? And, oh, my God, if I never have cheese again? And, you know, the suffering is coming from the actual mental process of trying to predict what it will be like. And so that's the hard part. But once people decide to do it, it's actually pretty easy. And I don't know if you've had that experience too. When I decide to do something, then I'm just going to make it happen. Then, you know, nothing's going to stop me. And so at that point, then it's more problem solving. Okay, well, Thanksgiving's coming up. Instead of, oh, I can't have turkey, it's all right, I'm not having turkey, so what am I going to have? Why don't I make an amazing stuff I can make an amazing stuff squash or something like that, you know, so you go into problem solving mode instead. So I think, you know, that part of it's really important of making the decision. The other part of it when it comes to the social experience is people really, if you have friends and family that are not going to support you eating in a way that can help you feel better, then they are not your support. So I really think that it's more about fear than the reality. When people actually tell their friends and family, listen, I'm doing this program that could help me feel better, and I really could use your support, most of the time you're going to get it. And what happens is a lot of times people might tease my clients about, oh, what's that green stuff you're drinking? And then after they see them lose 20 pounds in a month or two and their arthritis is gone, they're going, no, really, what's in those green smoothies? I want to make those, you know. So next thing you know, everyone they know has got a Vitamix and is making them. So I think it's, you know, really asking for support, not trying to hide in the shadows that, you know, I'm doing something weird people won't like, but really getting out there, because by taking care of yourself, you become an inspiration and a role model that can help other people heal as well. So to really embrace it, say, you know what, I'm doing something, I'm taking action, and I'm going to let people know so they can support me, and I'm going to do this in a public way. And if you don't have that support, which does happen sometimes, not everybody has a great family or supportive people in their life, then I suggest people find support elsewhere. My favorite place is actually I use meetup.com. Meetup is a great website where you can, as an adult, find friends with similar interests, which is really difficult to do, you know, when you're not in college or something. And so on Meetup, there are usually, if you look up vegan or vegetarian or plant-based, you can find groups that get together to have potlucks or outings or parties so that you can literally, tomorrow I'm going to a vegan picnic at the park that's here in Austin that's going to probably have hundreds of vegan people there all bringing dishes, and we can just eat until we can't eat anymore and know that everything on the table is okay to eat. So I think, you know, if you use those two techniques, really asking for support from people in your life, and embracing what you're doing, and then finding support and parties and other scenarios, using meetup or other things like that, then it really can become a pleasure. It really can become a pleasure to eat this way.
Yeah, I agree. We actually have a meetup here in my little town, in Port Charlotte, and it has been great fun. To have, again, like you say, to be able to go and to get a good meal and know that it's okay, and to have support, because a lot of people that are going there don't have the support. And it's, again, it's a positive environment. There's no jabbing, you know, why are you doing this, or, you know, come join me for a burger type of thing. So, yeah, I encourage my patients to, you know, look that up. And because I think, you know, part of it is, too, there's so many fad diets out there, and the people that have struggled with their weight over the years, you know, Weight Watchers, Nutrisystem, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I understand, you know, the spouse, like, oh, God, now what, when are we going to do this week, you know? And and then all of a sudden, well, no, this one's permanent, you know, and then that gets really scary.
You know, another great support, too, is Facebook. There is, you know, I have so many people who, you know, either follow me on Facebook or friends with me on Facebook who say that I'm the only people they know that are vegan or plant-based are on Facebook, that they live somewhere in the Midwest or wherever it is where they don't know anybody else. And so the Facebook communities are huge. There's vegan exercise groups, there's vegan parent groups, there's everything you can think of where you can just log in and look every day, and people are talking about their struggles and giving each other support, like, oh, what are you going to do for the vegan thing or for the Thanksgiving party at your elementary school? And everybody gives their ideas and support. And so, you know, I think Facebook has just been an amazing place, and I'm a part of a lot of these groups just to help give support and ideas and advice for people. And it's really, really great. So for folks who really have no idea where to start, Facebook is awesome because there's pages where people are just sharing recipes. There's pages where people use support. Like I said, parents or whatever it is that you're looking for. And that's been really, really helpful. I will say this was kind of funny. I had someone contact me who said that she was sharing the information on my – I have a Facebook page, Facebook.com/Dr. Goldner, DrGoldner. And that's a page where I just share information about myself and nutrition and science and all that stuff. And so she was sharing my post on a lupus support group on Facebook. And she got kicked out of the support group because they told her that she was sharing information that was not pertinent, and this was a support group meant for, you know, the regular normal medication support and medical support, and that she was giving people false hope and sharing, you know, invalid information. And so I asked her, I asked her for a number, and I called her up. She had sent this to me, and I called her up, and we're talking about this. And it was what she did was she started her own Facebook page for people who are looking for alternative therapies for lupus and autoimmune support. But it was that bad that she got kicked out of a support group for sharing my post about how I healed because it was false hope. So that was kind of sad. But she started her own support group, and I actually invited her to come to my event for free, and she came, and she was just a wonderful woman. And she's actually she's better than ever. And she was someone who's pre-diabetic as well, that always had high blood sugar. And she's doing the high raw foods and the smoothies, eating more fruit than she's ever eaten. Her blood sugar is completely stable now, you know, getting rid of all the meat and everything. And she's doing amazing. But it was just really interesting to see that you know, while there is a lot of support on Facebook, you know, it depends what group you're in. So in the plant-based group, yes. But, you know, in the traditional ones, not always. I've tried to share actually with some of the lupus support groups as well, and they don't answer back. So, you know, it's a shame, but still working on it. Still trying to get the information out there as much as possible.
I won't take up a whole lot of your time, but there's, you know, you gave us the smoothies at the nutrition conference, and your one, the Rise and Shine, you know, use spirulina and chlorella. Do you use that a lot, or do you use mainly just greens, or how important do you think those for people just starting out?
I don't think adding in the additional superfoods are very important, especially if you're just starting out. You know, the whole point of green smoothies is it's a way to, I call it hypernourishment. When your body has been malnourished and not functioning properly for a long time, we want to hypernourish or give huge amounts of nourishment to try to give the cells everything they could possibly need, not just for life, but for healing, which requires a lot more. And so green smoothies are fantastic because you can get a whole lot of nutrition in and just drink it with a straw. And so what I tell people to focus on is just using as many fresh greens as possible. So if you look out there online, you'll see recipes that call themselves green smoothie recipes, but it's all fruit with like four leaves of spinach. That's not what I'm talking about. That is not an older green smoothie. That's a fruit smoothie. My green smoothies are 2/3 to 3/4 of the pitcher is packed with leaves, whether it's spinach or kale, and you use your hand and you push those leaves down so it's packed. Then you add fruit to the remaining 1/3 or 1/4 to make it taste good for yourself. And so that's really where the nutrition comes from. Now, over time, as you heal and you're super vibrant and you're super energetic, then I think that's the time where you can add in all that other stuff, too, to get even more of a reaction. So at the time when I wrote those, I was trying to see, well, how much better can I get? People already think I'm hypomanic. You know, I have so much energy. What would happen if I start adding some chlorella or spirulina or other things, and they're great, but, you know, they're not necessary. So, and they're also expensive, you know, to buy those things. So the whole point is you can go to the supermarket, you can even go to Walmart, and you can get spinach, and you can get bananas and frozen mangoes or something and throw them into a blender, and you can get a smoothie. And that's really the goal. That's what you need to do. I wouldn't go to spirulina and avoid the spinach. You know what I'm saying? So so those are great if you have them to add them in, but they're entirely unnecessary.
Perfect, perfect. And so what are your plans? You said you're temporarily in the Austin area. What's your speaking? You know, are you going to go on a book tour with the release? Because your book just got released.
Mm-hmm.
So
we are planning a book tour right now. It's been a really amazing experience because my book was just released October 31st and it went bestseller in the pre-order stage. So it was, as soon as it was available for pre-order, it actually went bestseller. And that was before I had even advertised it or talked about it at all. So I was completely blown away. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And, we just did everything we could to get it out there and to get it going. And really, for me, the whole reason I released it is because people have been asking for it. When people come to me speak, and say, well, I wish there was a book or something I could give to somebody who wasn't able to be here. And I was totally in shock that that happened. So at this point, yeah, we're looking to plan a book tour. Our next event, my husband and I do a 2-day event called Amazing Fitness and Health, where we teach people how to create a healing metabolism, where you can either create that MCD six-pack if you want, or you can reverse your disease. But it uses the same principles of optimizing your cellular health using low-inflammation foods. And so it takes us 2 days to really drive it home and inspire people and give them the tools they need so that they never need us or anybody else again. And that's our goal. So our next one is coming up in December in Austin. We're going to set a date in the next few days. So if you go to the website amazingfitnessandhealth.com, you can actually fill in. There's a little thing that pops up, and if you fill your name in there, you get a free download, and it'll also notify you whenever we are having our next event. So we travel doing that event. We'll be doing the East Coast tour this summer. The dates for the book tour are not up yet, but I will update them. My website is veganmedicaldoctor.com. And so on veganmedicaldoctor.com, I'll add a tour date up there. So, yeah, that's all in the works right now.
Fantastic. Maybe we'll get you to Florida.
Well, actually, I'll be in Florida in December.
Oh, in December? What part of Florida?
Usually December is when I go to West Palm Beach, Florida, because that is where my mother and my 97-year-old grandmother live. And so we actually travel there every December and spend 2-3 weeks there. So, but absolutely, if while we're there, if you guys have an event coming down or if you want me to come down and see you guys, I'd love to do that.
Oh, yeah. I think I'll be getting in touch with you if we can, you know, if you have a couple days you want to. We're across on the East Coast or on the West Coast, but
Where are you looking?
In Port Charlotte, Florida, which is about an hour and a half south of Tampa. A half hour.
Oh, okay, yeah. I have a good friend that lives in St. Petersburg. So
it's 45 minutes south of that. Yeah, 45 minutes to an hour south of that.
I would love that. I would love that. That'd
all
be
right,
great.
Good. We'll be in touch. I'll track you down and stalk you at all your places.
Yeah, and if you think I'm an energetic speaker, you've got to see my husband, Thomas Tadlock. He is the most amazing, inspiring speaker I have ever seen in my life. And actually, he has taught me a lot of what I do on stage. He is just incredible. So if you think you see me cry a lot, you should see him tell our story.
I'm in for that. I definitely want to hear that. So I look forward to it. Well, I so appreciate, you know, all you've done. I admire you. You are a true healer in what a physician should be. And I commend you on that. I congratulate you on that. I couldn't be more inspired. I'm sure everybody listening is always inspired. And thank you very much for taking time to speak with me.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm happy to do it. Thank you for everything you're doing.
All right. We'll be in touch.
All right. Thank you.
Have a great green afternoon.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. I felt like transitioning with a hero's theme because I think certainly Dr. Goldner is a hero. So refreshing her 6 easy steps to healing, avoid animal products. That means eggs, fish, dairy, and all kinds of meats. Avoid processed foods, packaged foods with chemicals and unnatural complicated ingredients. If it can sit on your shelf and not mold, don't get it. If it's in a box, try to avoid it. Avoid oils, which include olive oil, vegetable oil, lard, butter, coconut oil. Eat plentiful greens, vegetables, fruits, raw whenever possible. Again, she encourages the sicker you are, the more raw you eat, the quicker you'll turn it around. I've started a little sprout tray. I think I talked to it about it before on my countertop. So, you know, just doing that and having some sprouts added into your day can help you out as well. Eat your omega-3 fatty acids, which include flaxseed, hemp seeds, chia seeds, and walnuts, and certainly your dark green leafy vegetables such as kale. And drink water every day, a 1/2 ounce per pound of body weight, up to 120 ounces a day. My only exception to this rule are my heart failure patients. Then I tell people to drink when they're thirsty. So if your heart's okay, then certainly flushing your system's okay. If you have bad kidney disease or heart failure, then this one has to be kind of taken with a little bit of caution. I apologize if my beeps and background barks offend anyone. This is a raw podcast. I produce it myself, and it's how my life is. So things go beep, things go bump. This podcast was particularly difficult. My internet, my office went out. I came home. The Terminex man was here, dogs barking. So sometimes it gets complicated, as life does, but I don't think that that distracts from the content too much. It's a part of life. Everybody has it. I also don't want to offend anybody with my reference to lupus being more significant than losing a tremendous amount of weight. Certainly, I've had people on my podcast that have lost a tremendous amount of weight and are extreme motivators and inspirational figures to me and to my listeners. My point in that statement was that lupus is such a devastating disease. And if plant-based nutrition can completely reverse that, then this message has to be spread far and wide. And it is so impressive. Because if you can reverse autoimmune disease, then you can do just about anything with whole foods, plant-based nutrition. And we have to spread the word to get people away from these marketing gadgets, devices, mixes, pills, and potions, that eating whole foods, plant-based nutrition is the way to go to be healthy. In addition, you know, it was fantastic that Dr. Goldner mentioned Meetup. We have Meetup here in Port Charlotte, Florida. It's called Charlotte County Plant-Based Foodies. We had a nice dinner at Tribu, which is a local restaurant. I'm also going to try to hold my conference in January 23rd there. It will be an all-day plant-based nutrition conference. I hope to get in some speakers that are well-recognized, as well as some local, very intelligent people that can give cooking demonstrations and talk about their plant-based nutrition books. maybe some yoga and meditation demonstrations as well. But if you're in the Florida area or you want to spend a nice weekend in Florida, this is something to look forward to. So I'll keep you up to date. I'll try to keep things posted on my website so that people can make plans for travel, perhaps. Again, if you have any questions for me, you can find me at jamiedulaney@gmail.com. It's jamiedulaney@gmail.com. Dr. Goldner's site is veganmedicaldoctor.com. And again, her book is available on Amazon and her website, Goodbye Lupus. She also has a Facebook page, so check her out. She's nothing but positive, so keep, you know, check it out. It's worth your time. So until then, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it and good things to come. And as Dr. Goldner said, let's try to find something positive about every day.